glad to see you here tonight. You may be seated if you'd like. And if you need a prayer list, would you raise your hand? The ushers will serve you right now. Anybody need a prayer list anywhere? I'm looking across. I don't see any hands except Catherine right over here. And there's a couple right there. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Herb, Christian, if you will, work your way down here in a little while and be ready to lead in prayer in just a moment after we have the prayer list, and we want you to have that there in front of you. I want you to pray for church in northern Vermont. In northern Vermont. It's a church that a young man left, Somerville, Alabama, with Pastor Shane Lewis, went up there and took this church, very small church, and not really able to support him, and so he's doing some other things on the side, try to get the church going. But the church is 120 years old, something like that, and the building, they don't know whether it's going to make it through another winter or not without being really deteriorated, and they're trying to raise some money to have the materials, to get the materials. They've got the volunteer labor that will do the work, but they need to raise the money to buy the materials. And so we'll give to that tonight in our offering. And I hope you'll pray. I do not know. I have not looked completely over the list tonight, but I do want you to pray for Paula Howell. She has been put under hospice care, and she has really gone down quickly at this point in time, and I hope you'll pray for her and the whole family. Brother Mark is in Chattanooga with his mom and dad at this time, trying to help out there and be a blessing and work on some things with them. And so I hope you'll pray for him, that God bless him, bring it back to us safely. He'll get back on Saturday. And so it's busy for all of us at this time of the year, and for all of you also. Now, it's hard to believe that we're back to school. Back to school. Man alive. But that's where we're down to, so pray for our young people also as they go back to that. I know you have requests on your heart. I know you do. Fanny Barker, some of you know this is Charlie Barker's grandmother. Charlie and, can you think of his wife's name? Kim. How can I miss Kim? Yeah, she married Charlie so she could marry a guy and not change her last name. She was Kimberly Barker before she got married. She's Kimberly Barker after she got married. And that was her maiden name, Barker. But anyway, this is Charlie's grandmother. Been sick for a good long while, and but went home to be with the Lord today, I believe it was. And the service will be on Monday. It will not be around here, and they're doing a graveside service in another city. But be much in prayer for the Barker family, if you will. Brother David, if you will, come share the list with us. And then Brother Herbert, if you will, come lead us in prayer.
Okay, let's pray for the president and all our government officials, the peace of Israel, and our missionaries serving in the Middle East. And especially pray for these upcoming elections. Things are getting bad now. It's going to be worse. So please remember to pray for that. Make that a priority. Anita Boyd received a very good report from her doctor, so we praise the Lord for that. Margo Cordes reports that Zach is improving, and they move him out of the shock trauma this week if he continues to improve. So another good report there. Scott Thompson is receiving chemo and radiation treatments. Kent Martin requests prayer for the Dale Martin family moving to Colorado and driving cross-country this week. Also for the Lance Martin family, who are hurting and experiencing discord. Jerry Huber is having radiation treatments and scheduled for chemo. Roger Nickel is receiving chemo. Wesley Perry had serious surgery at Arnold Palmer Hospital. And maybe you have an update on that, Pastor? We don't know how that's going right now. No update. Rosalie Rehnquist has high blood pressure and is taking medication. She's supposed to rest and see the doctor again on the 15th. Mike Schmidt's cousin, Glenda, has cardiac disease. and they're going to do bypass surgery this week. Gary, 17, is losing his eyesight. Paul Trentham went back to Shands and had additional surgery yesterday. Alice Smith's daughter, Marlene Ford, had throat surgery today. As Pastor already mentioned, Fanny Barker passed away, so remember the Barker family. Mike Olliman's best friend, Emmanuel Dafe. Cindy Sevy's health and job provision for herself and her husband, as well as salvation for her children and grandchildren. Pray for Millie Bishop's father, Ramon Cruz, who had to be taken to the hospital. Linda Coy's mom, Mary Kellum, was taken to the hospital with possible mini strokes. Cheryl Kidd's aunt, Carol, is undergoing tests for stomach issues. Sally Bardwell's sister, Mary, is in a medically induced coma. Janet Reed's son-in-law, Corey, fell and is in a lot of pain. And continue to remember these at the bottom of the list in prayer. Mary Butler, Jean Ann Godby, and Lydia Buck, Mark Fleming, Rod Mills, Gary Sherrill, Rick Elkins, Ramsey Butler, David Goss, Wesley Perry, Stacy Libby's father, and Ray Procious, Carol Alderman, Alicia Robles, Lou Sukup's neighbor, Daryl, Steve Van Ravensway, and Rusty Kachowski's father is still receiving chemo. Our missionaries for this week is the Nathan Kinoshita family of Japan and the Jared Kleeman family of the United Kingdom. Remember these in the nursing home or assisted living, Mary Lou Seaver and Ann Sperry, Dot Daniels, Fred Heller. And list of those in the armed forces, please take the time to pray for each one of those during the week if you could. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to come before your throne of grace this evening, Lord. Father, we are a needy people. Lord, you knew it from the foundation of the world, Lord, that we would be a needy people. Lord, everyone in this room here tonight has someone on their heart, their family, friends. Lord, they're either sick or, Father, they're hurting some way or another. But Lord, we know that you're in control. Lord, we think of your love, mercy, and grace that you've bestowed upon us. And Lord, we ask that tonight. We ask for your grace, Father, for each individual here. Father, we have a long list of people who are on this list that are hurting, Father, and for different reasons, different areas of life, Lord. But Lord, we lift them up to you. We thank you for what you're going to do. And Lord, I know for myself, Lord, for the time we'll see you face to face one day for each of us. Until that time, Lord, we be about your work here. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the pastor and the staff, Lord, as they lead. We thank you for the mission work that's going on all around the world through this church, Father. And we lift them up to you. We ask that you give them souls for their labor as they endeavor to spread the gospel to the different countries and different people. Lord, we think of our country. Father, it's in such a mess. Lord, it's only by your grace that we're still here. And we lift this country up to you, Father. Lord, you look at all the different issues that are going, that's happening. And Father, on my part, as I study your word, it's exciting times to see the prophecies unfolding right here, Lord. And we look back to the day that Israel regained their nation, Lord, all the way up to this point in time and what's happened. And Lord, you said in your word that in those days that there would be the homosexual increase, the children disobeying, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and so on, Lord. And all this is happening so much, so fast, Father. But Lord, on our part, it's exciting to know that the next great event is when you're coming for us. Lord, we long for that day. Everyone in this room, Lord, would So we thank you, Lord, for that promise. And until that time, Lord, may we be faithful and be about your work. Lord, we thank you now for this time tonight, Lord, that we can gather around your word. And Lord, as the pastor brings it tonight, Father, open our hearts and our minds to it, Lord, that we would apply those truths as we walk down life's road, that would be the person you'd want us to be. And Father, we'll give you the honor and glory in everything said and done tonight. May we lift up our hearts and as we sing, Lord, just encourage one another, and we'll give you the thanks for what you're going to do in each life. So, Father, we just ask for thy blessing and fill the pastor with thy spirit tonight, Lord, and give him the words to say. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name, for his sake. Amen.
Let's stand once again as we take our hymn books. Turn to hymn number 564. Just a closer walk with thee. Hymn number 564.
To stand still and sing that song, isn't it? I didn't even see you, Teresa. I was looking at everybody else. If I'd have thought about it, I'd have looked down there to see you because I knew you wouldn't be standing still. We're going to shake hands fellowship in just a moment, but I want to make some announcements. Of course, tomorrow is work day around here, mowing outside, cleaning inside. If you can come and help with that, that'd be great. Then I want you to know that 7 o'clock Saturday morning at the McElroy's house, they're loading a 40-foot container. 40-foot container is a big container. Heading out to Kenya and for the mission there, and we've given to that and we bought rice and I don't know what else we bought, but we bought something. And that's good. If you can go there and help load the container, you will appreciate the fact that you go early before it gets too hot. And some of our young people are going. It's hard to get young people out at that time. I think Aaron is going to be there at 7, and he's going to come back here and get the kids and take them over and be there about 8. If you can participate in that, see them after the service. They'll give you the number on Indian Rock Court, over in Deltona. And I'm sure that the neighbors don't want it there too long. They want it loaded and out, I'm sure. But anyway, if you can do that, that would be good. Now, this is a stupid thing I'm going to share with you now. This is from Fox News. A reporter by the name of Shannon Bream. This is from the O'Reilly Factor. In New York City, that wonderful metropolitan, safe, whatever, they recognize 31 different genders. I don't even want to see that list. So you have all these choices. Is it any wonder that people are saying, I can't find myself. I just don't know who I am. I just, you know. I mean, 31 different genders. That's pretty amazing. That's got to be creative. That's got to be creative to come up with some of those things. I can't imagine. But anyway, there you have it. That's very inspirational for the evening, isn't it? In Philippians chapter 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And we're going to sing it tonight. Let's see. We have two sides. So let's just do two sides. Now, here's how it goes. It starts, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Okay? And then another group starts, and you sing the same thing together. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Then the first group starts, rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. And this group is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. But if you keep it together, you keep it together. You've got this side. Okay? Okay, David. David's got this side. I got you over here. And we're going to start. If y'all will follow us. Come forward, if you will. We'll receive our offering tonight. And while they're coming, I'll remind you of the scribe. Now, I don't know. My cards are all gone here. No, I see a stack of them back here. But there's stacks of cards everywhere. Get out about the scribe. Get the word out. Thank you, Elizabeth. You can be seated. Okay. All right. And let's get as many people to watch this thing as we can. What a wonderful opportunity to get the gospel out to folks. And in a very good way, a very clear way, a very creative way, and all those things. And so I hope you'll do that. Of course, pray for a good day on Sunday. Pray for all the activities that are coming up as far as back to school and Grandparents' Day next month and all of these things that are taking place and leading on up to October the 16th, the anniversary Sunday. And so pray for all of those things that are happening. Anything else I need to mention? You know, anybody else? Anything else I need to mention? All right. We'll give the offering tonight to this church in Vermont. We'll give the offering tonight to this church in Vermont. If you want to do something very significant for that, I know that I know what the need is. The need is $11,000. The need is $11,000. They say that's what the materials are going to cost. I also know that Somerville Baptist Church, where Shane Lewis pastors, of course, the pastor up there, Brother Chevron, is out of that church. And so he came down and presented the need to his home church there in Somerville, Alabama. And they raised almost $9,000 at that church, which is a vast majority of it. And so if we can do something, though, and I told Shane that we would do something, and so whatever we do, I know will be greatly appreciated. And so you can feel free to give to that tonight. Father, I do pray with Brother Chevron. I pray that you bless Steve, Lord, and the people there. And Father, to take a church that was just ready to close and to go in there in a very difficult area, a very cold climate, a very cold people, too. I pray that you'll just somehow, may we do something that will let those people know that they have brothers and sisters in Christ in other places that they do not know and we do not know them, but we're part of the family. And Father, I pray they'll know that people care about it. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, isn't that a marvelous, marvelous song? A stirring song, a piercing song, if you think about the Lord asking us those questions. This is what I've done. This is what I do. What are you doing? What are you doing? And powerful. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you so much for bringing that old song to us. Search the Scriptures at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock Saturday evening. 6 o'clock. I forgot about that, but if you're into the reading, why, you know that applies to you, and come and fellowship around the Word of God. And I'm assuming that would not be a meal, but a little refreshment and some just things to munch on while you're talking about the Word of God. What a good thing to do. And then next week, next Thursday night, is the children's musical. They're working on it right now. They're finishing it up tonight and ready for next Thursday night. And they'll present it to us here that they've been working on for this summer. And that'll be an enjoyable thing. And they'll take basically the entire service next week, I think. I'm not sure exactly on the time on that, but it probably will be. And so keep those things in mind. Open your Bible again to 1 John, and we'll use that as the jumping off point. I was thinking, as Kenny was singing, Fanny Barker passed away this morning. And yesterday afternoon, I saw Kenny and David sitting in the car talking, praying, fellowshipping a little bit after they'd been out making visits. And they'd been to see Fanny yesterday. They saw her in rehab yesterday and had the privilege of being there with her. She didn't know who they were, but she likes them. And what a privilege that was, Kenny, to be there with her just before she went home to be with the Lord. And I know you guys appreciate that, and the Lord bless you for it. Bless you for it. Chapter 5, verse 20. We looked at it last week. And we know that the Son of God has come, and that, and hath given us an understanding. Now, isn't that good? He gives us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So therefore, little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen? That's what it says right there. Amen. And it ends. It ends right there. Now we're going to go back to the book of John again. We're going to look at those verses in chapter 8, in John chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. I'm again impressed through the book of John how many times an entire chapter is given to one encounter the Lord Jesus Christ had with someone else. And this is the prelude to chapter 9, where he has the encounter with the man born blind that we finished up with last week. And that encounter, he said, do you believe that the Christ is the Son of God? And he said, who is he that I may believe that? He said, I that speak to thee am he. And he said, oh, I believe. I believe. What a wonderful thing. And in verses 24 and 25 of chapter 8, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, literally, I am. And the Jews understood what was being said whenever he said, I am. If you just study the I ams of Jesus through the book of John, it's a marvelous study. If you believe not that I am, and of course he is in italics, I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? What a dumb question. And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I told you from the beginning. I'm the same one. I haven't changed. Now we're looking at some things about the deity of Christ. First of all, we've looked at the doctrine of the deity of Christ. We're now coming to the end of looking at the declarations of Christ's deity, the declarations of his deity. We're going to look briefly at some deceptions about his deity and then the demands of his deity. Now, in looking at the declaration of Christ's deity, we looked at just reasoning through the statements of the angel at his birth, and Brother Alec came to me afterwards, Alec Weiss, and he said, you know, whenever the angels are speaking, the shepherds come and everything like that, it must have been really the Lord himself that was there on the hillside outside Judea. After all, he is omnipresent. And he was coming to limit himself in that body. But it's an interesting thought. It's a good thought. And I like that. It certainly testifies to his deity, all the surrounding things. At his baptism and at the transfiguration, he forgave sins. And they say, who can forgive sins except God only? He said, well, if it's easier to say, rise, take up thy bed and walk, than it is to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, okay, I'll say that, whatever. But I want you to know that I have power on earth to forgive sins. Only God can do that. They were right in that. Hello. He received and accepted worship. And we went through a number of places like that where they'd bow before him. And then we compared that to Paul and to Peter and John and to others in the New Testament that said, no, 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 don't worship us. Don't worship us. We are people. We are individuals. We are men just like you are. Don't worship us. Jesus never said such a thing. He never corrected or discouraged anyone from worshiping him. Now, honestly, you've got to say, if you have no more than that, you have got to say, either he was God, or he was self-delusional, that he thought he was God, or that he was a deceiver, trying to convince other people that he was God. After all, you know, in John chapter 10, if you still have your book open right there to John chapter 8, just turn a couple of pages, and down in verse 33, now he's dealing, you know, in John chapter 10 with the shepherd and the sheep. And in verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give to them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's pretty stout. And it was pretty stout for the Jews too. Because in verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They liked to do that. But whenever it came to ultimately, they did not take up stones to stone him. Whenever they wanted him dead, they wanted him killed by the Roman government because they wanted him crucified. And they didn't know perhaps why they wanted that, but that's fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus answered them in verse 32, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Now, was Jesus cussing? No. That's not what blasphemy is. Now, blasphemy may incorporate itself into someone cussing, but blasphemy is this. Blasphemy is exalting a man to deity or bringing deity down to being just a man. Some of you were alive back in the 60s when rock and roll really hit wide open, and it was adapted by the church. The church adopted rock and roll. Back then. And there was a there was a rock musical, supposedly, a Christian rock musical called Jesus Christ Superstar. Jesus Christ Superstar. I think it's had some revival in the last, about a few years ago, 5, 10 years ago, something like that. There was some people tried to revive it, and it was a stage production. And there were kids all over this country in churches doing this musical, Jesus Christ Superstar. In that, Mary Magdalene sings. And one of the songs she sings the refrain that continues in the song is this. He's only just a man. He's only a man. He's only just a man. Now that's blasphemy. It was then. It was before then. It was blasphemy. And it's still blasphemy. They said, we're going to stone you for blasphemy. They understood what he was saying. Because in verse 33, right there, the Jews answered him, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. World. The world, new world. New World Translation. The Jehovah's Witness Bible. Their translation of the Bible. When it comes to that verse, they do an interesting thing. They do an interesting thing with the verse. This is what they say. Thou being a man, makest thyself a God. Little g. That's what they do with it. That's blasphemy. That's doing something to the Word of God that changes the whole thing that is being argued here by the Lord Jesus Christ. Dearly beloved, that's why you need to be so careful about translations. You need to be so careful. If you look at Jesus' self-identity, turn back to chapter 8 again. Chapter 8. And he's coming in this argument with the Jews down through here. And he argues that, and all of the whole chapter 8, all of chapter 8 is an argument, a logical argument of the deity that Jesus gives for his own deity. And then in chapter 9, he deals with the blind man and he gives an illustration of how his deity is shown forth in chapter 9. But in chapter 8, he's dealing with this in, verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Isn't that interesting? We know that thou hast the devil. They're saying this to Jesus. It should not surprise us that people say similar things today. They said it to his face here on earth. Okay? We know you have a devil. Abraham is dead. And the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keepeth my saying, he shall never taste of death. Here's this earthly concept. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? What he's saying, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Jesus answered, said in verse 54, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. My Father is your God. You say you have this God and he's my Father. And that's contradictory with everything. Your father Abraham, yet ye have not known him. You do not know God, verse 55. But I know him, And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, what? I am. Before Abraham was, I am. You see, he is omnipresent. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And he is at the beginning and he is at the end. He is still there at the beginning. He is still there at the end. And before Abraham was, I was? No. Before Abraham was, I am. Now they understood exactly what he's saying. 59. Then they took stones to cast at him. Here again, they're going to stone him. They're going to stone him. They're going to stone him for blasphemy. That's who he says he is. Whenever Jesus came to the disciples and in the night watches, and he comes walking to them on the water, and it's a ghost. What is this? And Jesus said, It is I. Now, literally what he said there is, I am. And because I am, be not afraid. We've sung a song for many years now. It's not an ancient song, but we sung it for many years. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow. And I know he holds my hand. You see, the I am, because of the I am, it's okay. He knows the future. He knows. Fact is, he's already there. In John chapter 18, whenever, and I've referred to this, but whenever they come to take him in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, Whom seek you? And he said, I am. Now, in our Authorized Version, it says, I am, and he is in italics. But he says, I am, I am. And again, I remind you that they fell backwards. They fell backwards with the strength and the force of that statement. Because these were Jews that came to him. Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? Now, I just remind before I go to the deceptions about his deity, I remind you that whenever Saul of Tarsus, now if there was ever a Jew, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he gives his recommendation and his resume to the church at Philippi, and he's talking about who he's born of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, circumcised the eighth day, of the tribe of Benjamin, of which the first king was from, Saul. A Pharisee, touching the law, blameless. Now this was all before the road to Damascus. A man who could quote Old Testament scripture, stand here and quote what we would read for hours. He could stand here and quote. He could do that. Whenever he looked to heaven and said, Who art thou, Lord? He's talking to Jehovah. That's who he's talking to. And whenever the voice from heaven answers and says, I am Jesus, he did not miss the connection. Everything in that instant, everything changed. And he who had been a persecutor of the ones who followed Jesus now says to Jesus, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? There is no doubt in that encounter. Whenever Paul came away from that encounter, he had no question in his mind that the one who walked the streets of Jerusalem and who confronted, and he was probably in the group of people that confronted Jesus at times, the one who had consented to the death of Stephen, the first martyr, and the one who was persecuting everyone that identified with Jesus because they claimed he was God. That was the reason for his persecution. Now says to Jesus, what do you want me to do? What would you want me to do? Now there's not any question in his mind that whatever he says to him to do, he's going to do it. He's not asking for information. He's asking for direction. What do you want me to do? He's not just trying to determine whether or not it's something he can do or wants to do or whatever like that. But I'm going to do whatever you say. Oh, it just goes on and on and on and on, all the way through the Word of God. And if you get this doctrine clear in your mind, whenever you're reading the Scripture, you're going to see it jump out all the time. In reading in the New Testament, in the Gospels, in the Epistles, even in the book of Acts, and on into the book of Revelation. It just jumps out everywhere, everywhere. I was interested to see the doubter, Thomas, in John chapter 20, the doubter. Except I put my finger in the nail prints of his hand and thrust my hand in his side, I won't believe. Well, next week he's with the people. Jesus shows up again. Now, he knows none of them have seen Jesus. And Jesus says, Thomas, good to see you. Missed you last Sunday. He says, come here. Put your finger right here in my hand. Thrust your hand in my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And he falls down to worship him and says to him, my Lord and my God. Do you know what the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses says he said when he bowed down before Jesus? This is the translation they give of what Thomas said. My Lord and my God. How can they read that? How can they read that and say Jesus is not God? They did not even there insert the A, because Thomas didn't say, my Lord and a God. He said, my God, my Lord and my God. Amazing. It's amazing. Don't be intimidated whenever they tell you you don't know your book. They don't know their book. They might know the little magazine they have in their hand, but they don't know the book. Okay? Deception about his deity. We began tonight in 1 John. So if you will, let's go back there just a minute or two. In 1 John chapter 2, there are those who blatantly deny the deity of Christ. Now, in the Word of God, the people who deny the deity of Christ are called Antichrist. Now, this is not the Antichrist. This is not the person that's going to come and pretend to be a Christ. These are people who are simply against Christ. They are against Jesus Christ. And in verse 18, little children, it is the last time. Wow. If it was the last time then, surely it's the last time now. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, which we know that it is the last time. They were not from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written to you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist and denieth the Father and the Son. He denieth the Father and the Son. You say, well, preacher, don't be unkind. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. It's what God says. I think whenever the prophet Hananiah came to Jehoshaphat, after Jehoshaphat had joined himself in league with Ahab to go to battle, and for some reason Jehoshaphat dresses up like the king, and Ahab, the wicked man, the king of the northern 10 tribes of Israel, he dresses like just an ordinary soldier. The king gives command, don't go after anybody but the king. And Jehoshaphat has agreed to dress up like the king. What a dumb thing to do. It's amazing what people do whenever they get out of God's will. Whenever he got back from that battle, and of course the guy draws a bow at a venture and shoots the arrow, and he kills Ahab. God directed that arrow. Okay? Now, Jehoshaphat has come back to Jerusalem. Hananiah comes to him and said, what's with you? Why do you befriend those that hate God and help those who are God's enemy? Now, I'm not being unkind. The Word of God's not unkind. The Word of God's just been very plain and very factual. This is what it is. I had a friend back in Spencer, West Virginia, whenever I was a kid, and I didn't understand a whole lot, but this fellow named Ross Board was his name. Ross Board. Ross passed away and in heaven now, but knew his kids, and his kids were in my youth department and those things. Ross was whenever he got saved, the Lord put in his heart a burning to know the Word of God. And he became consumed with studying the Bible. And one day some Jehovah's Witnesses came to his door. And his wife answered the door, and he heard what was going on. He knew who it was as he listened to the conversation. So he didn't go out to the conversation. And his wife said, No, you don't need to come here. Said, my husband, he's really into this thing, and he's really studying the Bible and all. And she said, I'm sorry. There's no point in talking to any of us here. Maybe you'll have better luck the next house you go to. He come out and he said, No, we don't want you to have good fortune anywhere you go. And she said, well, I was just trying to be nice. He said, well, you can be nice without saying that. Don't bid them Godspeed. Now, you know this, if you have folks come to your door like that, that it's hard to get away from that without being unkind. I told a lady on the phone one day, she was talking with me about something, and, you know, telemarketers, and I said, I'm really not interested in that. And it just went on. You know, there's no break. There's just a breath. There's no break. And so it went on to the next point, and I said, I'm really not interested. And after saying that about three times, I said, ma'am, let me ask you something. She says, yes. Oh, God, you're going to ask a question. I said, do I have to be ugly to get out of this conversation? She said, okay. And hung up. But these people are against Christ. Against Christ. In John chapter 2, if you're still in 1 John chapter 2, I want you to look in verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Did you get that? In other words, if you don't come to Jesus, and if you do not accept Him, you don't have the Father. I don't care what you call yourself. I don't care what name you bear. I don't care anything like that. Those who deny Jesus as God the Son, who became the Son of God, incarnate in human flesh, God clothed in flesh, those who deny that deny God the Father. Okay? And then there are those who diminish it. Look in chapter 4 of 1 John. And I read, just follow with me in verses 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Now we're going to know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Is of God. Now, whenever it says Jesus Christ, it's talking about Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Holy One of God. That's who Christ is. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's not His first name. Jesus is His second name, and His last name, Christ. That's not what it is. These are titles that have definite. The Lord Jesus, the name by which He is known on earth. And it's interesting that His earthly name, His earthly name is the name that is exalted above every name. Above every name. It's exalted above Gabriel. It's exalted above Michael. And every indication is that it's exalted above Jehovah. That at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue confess. Beloved, now we are now with the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be. Well, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Where am I? I'm in chapter 3. And I want chapter 2, don't I? No, I want chapter 4. That's where I am. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Be careful. Now, this is our confession. This is who we are. Churches have identities. In Atlanta, the church we were in Atlanta, it had a church right up the road, 2 or 3 miles. And they were known in the community. They were the sports church. I mean, they had a little league program. It was just top notch everywhere. They did a little peewee football and all baseball and all everything. They had the gymnasium. They had that. They were the sports church. And that was a tool they used. But the tool they used became so much their identity that that's who they were. And everything of the church gravitated around that. And they moved church service times in order to accommodate the sports program. And so what we would call, probably a lot of people would call, the tail got to wagging the dog. They were identified that way. Churches have identity. Some churches are identified as, well, that church is known for its music. Now, I like music. But if that's the thing people think of, the first thing that comes to mind is the music. The music. And there is a saying going on right now that's nothing new, that is in a lot of places among a lot of believers and sometimes very good people. More music, less preaching. It's just everywhere. More music, less preaching. More music, less preaching. Sometimes they become known by schools that they identify with. Now, whenever I was growing up, there were basically three schools that people really knew about. We didn't know, in my part of the country where I was from, it was not like here in Florida. Here in Florida, one of the schools was Bible Baptist College in Springfield, Missouri. Now, I'm talking about among independent Baptists. And then there was Bob Jones University, and there was Tennessee Temple. And churches would identify with those schools. And that's what they were. And that became their identity. Whenever you said the name of that church, they'd say, oh, that's a BJ school. That's Bob Jones school. Or, oh, that's a BBC school, BBC church. Well, that's a temple. That's Tennessee Temple church. I can go on and on and on with that, with identity. And boy, it comes into denominationalism and everything else in that. But dearly beloved, our confession is, and I would pray that this church would be, a Jesus Christ is God church. Amen. Jesus Christ is God. God has exalted him, given him a name above it. That's why I like the Lord's Supper so much. Because I'm going to tell you, in the Lord's Supper, though we sing and though we pray, though we have, it's all about Jesus. It's just all about Him. And the focus is right back there on Him. I'm going to take 3 minutes and give you the final point. We've looked at the doctrine of Jesus' deity. We've looked at declaration of his deity. We've looked at the deceptions about his deity and now the demands of his deity. I'm going to give you four. If Jesus Christ be God, and he is, then he must be worshipped, he must be obeyed, he must be honored, and he must be trusted. I have found a deep peace that I never once knew, and a joy this world could not afford, since I yielded control of my body and soul to my wonderful, wonderful Lord. My wonderful Lord. My wonderful Lord, by angels and seraphs in heaven adored, I bow at thy shrine, my Savior divine, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. Let's stand together. Sing it with me.
It's slow getting up.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Say, Aaron, do you love Jesus?
No, we won't go into that. Okay.
What do you have for us? You just here for the meeting? Ah, we got it. We got it. We got it announced. 6 o'clock Saturday. 7 o'clock that morning, 6 o'clock that evening. We got it going on all day on Saturday. CMA workers or interested workers, let's meet right over here in this section. Well, right here in this section, right beside the orchestra right here. And God bless you. Don't forget, he is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're dismissed.